Thank you, Chip and crew. I'm not going to name everybody because I would forget people's names, even people that I know. So, not to embarrass myself further, like I will do it time enough. But thank you. I mean, it's awesome worshiping. Awesome worshiping Acapulco. The Acapulco priest. That's really good. Always good. I invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 4 this morning as we continue on. We will wrap up this story of Jesus and the woman at the well. This is fantastic story as we go through the gospel. If you're not familiar with the story, Jesus and his disciples took a shortcut through Samaria, which is the part of the area that the Jewish people enemies resided. I guess the Samaritans, you could say. They didn't like him very much, but Jesus wanted to take him through there. He's hanging out at a well, sent the disciples in to get some food. And while he was there, this woman came, and Jesus asked her for a drink. And through the process of conversation, Jesus offered her living water. And she's like, what's living water? Well, that's just, you know, you would have an internal, God would bless you, be constantly filled by God's Spirit, that you would just feel the joy of life all the time. And she's like, whoa, give me some of this. And Jesus says, go get your husband, come on back. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, yeah, I know. Through that process of realization, she comes to find out that he is the Messiah. He's the Messiah. Blew her mind. And so that's where we're going to pick up the story. And this is just so cool. This has been just to sit on this story for 3 weeks. I found it a blessing. So let's pray. I wasn't going to do this because the sermon's like a tad longer. Oh, I'm giving you the heads up. So it's just a tad longer. So I wasn't going to pray, but I just feel the need to pray. So Lord, bless your word. We just took time blessing you. Now you're going to turn around and bless us. And so, Lord, we are open to that. We are open to your Spirit moving in this place and in us to learning the truths of your word. And may it change us to become more like Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen. John 4, we're going to start in verse 27. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, something that rabbis didn't do back then, that weren't supposed to do. But no one dare asked him, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? They've kind of learned that Jesus just moves to the beat of a different drum, but they're kind of confused. Verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town. Now, we wonder if the woman kind of picked up a vibe from the disciples as they came back and kind of gave her the look like, what are you doing with our rabbi here? But she leaves, and she goes back to town. Verse 29, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, what? Could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you all have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Praise God for his word. You've heard me mention this before. One of my favorite TV shows is Seinfeld. Okay, I like watching, you know, and I have a TV program that records a lot of the episodes, so I can kind of watch them at will. And so I just, you know, and it's often as you watch that whole show, Jerry Seinfeld, the star, kind of dates all kind of women throughout that show. Very, very pretty women. But he often breaks up with them for very, very crazy, ridiculous reasons. This week I was watching one, and he ends up breaking up with this woman because she really liked this commercial that appeared on TV, and he thought it was just ridiculous. You know, I can't be with her because she likes the commercial. So he broke up with her. He dated another woman, and he ended up breaking up with her because she ate her peas one by one. Okay? Or because this woman laughed funny. So I can't be with a woman who laughs like that. You know, I'm a comedian. So. And then there was the one where the woman had man hands. He just didn't care for that, so he broke up with her. But he liked these women, and they were pretty and everything, but it just something about them rubbed him the wrong way. You know, I think the disciples had a similar reaction to Jesus sometimes. Miracles, healings, casting out demons. He was taught about the kingdom of God better than anybody they had ever heard in synagogue, doing these Messiah-like things. But there are some things that Jesus did that just rubbed them the wrong way, that just kind of got under their skin. He did some things that weren't really Messiah-like, according to their understanding of Scripture and how they were brought up. You know, they kept seeing this wonderful man of God do some unscriptural, unconventional things that Messiah, you know, shouldn't be doing, that rubbed them the wrong way, and it messed with them, and it was kind of confusing to them. He did things like, we see here, taking a shortcut through enemy territory. You know, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. They had a history, but why is Jesus going through their land? Doesn't he know? He comes back and the disciples come back and they see him talking with a Samaritan woman. A woman! You're not supposed to be doing that. Respected rabbis don't do that, you know, in public. He's conversing, you know, they have these people that come back to town. And now, you know, it's bad enough he's talking to women. Now the whole town's coming out to see Jesus and he's talking with them and sharing with them stuff. And then Jesus is going to stay 2 days in this town. So what are you, if you are a disciple and these things kind of rub you the wrong way, where are you going to stay? You're going to stay in somebody's house and use the utensils of your enemy. Jesus, what are you doing? They're having trouble with this. What do you do when the world that you're living in is changing right before your eyes? What used to be frowned upon is now accepted. When your understanding of the Bible now is interpreted differently. You see, this is where the disciples are right here. They are learning that they no longer have a lock on being God's people. That their birthright, their ancestry doesn't matter as much as it used to. And many of them maybe heard John the Baptist when he was preaching to people. And the religious leaders come out and, you know, and we're boasting, well, why are you baptizing? Why are you, you know, we're already saved. We're already God's people. And John the Baptist replied that God can raise up sons of Abraham from these stones around here. So they're thinking, whoa, what does that mean? The Apostle Paul would later talk about this very idea regarding his heritage and his religious accomplishments. In Philippians chapter 3, here's what Paul said, and Troy, you can put that on the screen. He said this, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. That's the word. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. See, the disciples are learning and discovering that it's really all about Jesus and following him, that anybody can become a child of God. And they're beginning to wrestle with the idea that the kingdom of God is now opening up to non-Jews. These are guys, they loved Scripture. They loved their country, and they loved Jesus, but man, was he challenging them right now. Jesus was challenging them that their first priority was not to their Jewish heritage, but to their faithfulness to God. And he was showing them that their true citizenship is in the kingdom of God, and that citizens of the kingdom of God, they think differently. And they act differently. And so in this story, I think we see some good lessons from Jesus on how to be a good citizen. And the first one is this: to view opposing people as potential siblings in Christ, not political enemies to conquer. To view opposing people as potential siblings in Christ, not political enemies to conquer. Verse 35, Jesus says this: I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus is standing in non-Jewish territory and telling his disciples, look around. Look around. These people are ready to become God's children. Let me tell you, that had to just blow the disciples' mind. To imagine that these Samaritans could become God's children. That was the last thing that they were thinking about. You know how often when we meet people for the first time, we're always kind of sizing them up. You know, what do they do? Where are you from? What do you like? What don't you like? And then we're always waiting for that point when their politics ends up oozing out one way or another. You know, what is their political leaning? And we kind of find that, what do? We start judging them or putting a label on them. Or we see the lifestyle that people have chosen to live out in the world in all its forms, right? And we kind of say, oh, you're one of those. We're thinking this. Oh, you're one of those. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly doing battle with this in my mind, okay? Because there are so many people that are wrong out in the world. that don't think like me, okay? And I can't believe that they, you know, that they're wrong. They don't think like me. My way is right. And in this fact, Jesus is continually challenging me that, you know what? This person is not the enemy. They are not the enemy. No matter how different than they are a potential brother and sister in Christ. And even if they are a brother and sister in Christ and you think differently, listen, you have a lot more in common than you do not in common. And so Jesus is kind of like, hey, listen, don't talk bad about them. Not in person, not away from them. Don't make fun of their group on Facebook. Don't talk down about that group. But maybe pray for them. So that's what I'm trying to learn, to pray for them. Because you know what? Pray that if you think that you're right, then you pray that their eyes are opened. That's you know, view opposing people as potential siblings in Christ. So you pray for them, but number two is this: ask God to open your eyes to see people's needs and not their flaws. Jesus tells us this, verse 35. I tell you, open your eyes, he says, and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. The disciples, when they came to the well, they saw a foreigner. Jesus saw someone who was made in the image of God. They saw a loose woman. Jesus saw someone who was broken and hurting, someone who needed love. I think our nature is to judge people and to rank people, Okay, where am I amongst all these people here? And one of the ways we do that is we kind of point out their flaws. You know, oh, they're like that. I'm better than they are. You know, at least I'm better than that person. And we do that because of our own insecurities. Okay? At least that's what I still do that. I still do that. Put me in a room with a group of pastors, and I'm still trying to find out where I stand amongst them. You know, well, I'm cooler than that guy. I know that. Yeah, look how he looks. Because we're a pretty nerdy bunch, I'll admit that. You know, or you get into a discussion. I'll get into a discussion with somebody and just kind of wonder, oh, what is their theology? How do they know, you know, how much Bible do they know? Like, could I carry on a conversation? That's something, you know, he mentioned that. I dealt with that a long time ago. You know, you start ranking yourself. Or how big of a church do they have? Oh, yours is just that big. Oh, yours is that big, you know, or whatever. This is just what people do. That's wrong. That is so wrong. Okay? Because when we are active in the kingdom of God, who is our king? Jesus is our king. And when Jesus is our king, he is our security. And when he is our security, all is well. All is well. All right? We don't have to worry about our standing in the world. We don't have to compare with other people. We don't have to find flaws in other people. We can focus on kingdom work because of who we are. We have security. So if we focus on kingdom work, we can be more concerned with meeting other people's needs and how to minister to them. Good citizens focus on other people's needs, not their shortcomings. Number three, take care of yourself. Eat healthy. Eat healthy. Verse 32 and 34, Jesus said, I have food to eat, telling his disciples, that you guys know nothing about. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, we have all experienced the time we've been heavily involved in a project or doing something fun or whatever. And all of a sudden, we look at, you know, there's a break in the action. We look at, my goodness, it's 2:30. Well, I worked right through lunch. Or I was enjoying this, and I worked right through lunch. And I haven't even realized you skipped lunch. You know that? I wonder if that's kind of what's going on here, that Jesus got such a rush from doing God's will that his hunger went away. Now, think about that for a minute. What if doing God's will literally, literally nourished Jesus right here? Well, just think about that for a minute. Because our mindset is, hey, we get fed, we take care of our body by eating. But Dallas Willard says this. He's a theologian. I read this a couple months ago in a book that I'm reading, and I kind of went, He said this. He notes that the issue being addressed with the disciples was the need for physical nourishment and how it might be met. Jesus indicates that physical nourishment too was available directly from spiritual sources. In other words, Jesus' physical hunger was satisfied by doing the spiritual works of God. Think about that for a minute. Isn't that crazy? That's something I had never really thought about. I mean, God's our creator. This is his world. He's the one who kind of invented all this up, created this up. He can do things however he wants. He can feed us through food, or he can just say, you know what? Another way that I'll feed you is when you do my will. We focus more on the first thing. We don't think about the second thing, but Jesus is kind of showing us here. That when we worship, when we serve, when we grow spiritually, when we fight injustice, that good stuff out there, that kind of can feed us and nourish us physically. I mean, that just kind of blew my mind if we kind of take it literally. And if some of you are giving me the look like, believe me, I get it. But maybe we'll do an experiment this week. Why don't we do this? Why don't we skip lunch and go serve somebody and see what happens? You guys don't like to skip lunch. Okay, I get it. But I mean, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by this. I mean, so often we take, you know, we're to take the scriptures literally. Is this one of those points where we kind of go, just, should I say, food for thought? Okay, anyhow. But listen, this is something that makes a good citizen, right? Number four, get into the practice of removing barriers and not putting them up. Get into the practice of removing barriers, not putting them up. We started off the scripture this morning. It said Jesus' disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one dare asked him, what do you want or why are you talking with her? And John is kind of showing this, that when the disciples come back from town, all of a sudden when they saw what was going on, these barriers went up in their minds. Why are you talking with a woman? Why are you talking with a Samaritan? Why are you talking with that kind of woman right there? And so all these judgments that they had. And we tend to do that as well. You know, we are constantly putting up barriers with labels attached to people. Oh, they're Democrat. Oh, there's a Republican. Oh, there's a liberal. Oh, there's a Trumper. Oh, there's an anti-vaxxer. Oh, they always have to wear masks and they're afraid and stuff like that. And all we have to do is we just watch politicians or pundits on TV, or we see somebody with a hat or a T-shirt that says something, or we see a post on Facebook, and just like the disciples, boom, these barriers go up and we begin to judge people just by what we see. And sometimes we get angry, and sometimes we just dismiss people because, oh, they're associated with that group. Well, they're all the same, and they all think like this, and they're all against me. And we do that to protect our tribe. We put up barriers. There are four barriers in this story that Jesus tore down. The first one is the sin barrier. You think about this woman who being married five times, we had read earlier, and she's living with a guy now. Obviously, she's got a horrible past. We don't know what part that she played in all of this, but she's probably a hard woman just to stay alive. You can imagine the emotional strain on her life. One of the reasons why we find out she's coming out to the well in the middle of the day, because that was the only time when all the other women weren't there to gossip about her. You normally would get water in the cool of the day or in the evening. She comes out in the heat of the day because that's when she wouldn't be gossiped about. She had a hard life and she was partly responsible for it. But you know what? Her past did not matter to Jesus. He's going to have a conversation with her. The religious barrier. Last week we saw how the Samaritans worship differently than the Jews. It didn't matter to Jesus. He was going to enter into a conversation with her. There's a racial barrier. We had talked earlier about the Samaritans. The Jewish people considered them half-breeds going back to their history. They were looked down upon. But Jesus had no qualms about taking a shortcut through their land or having a conversation with one. And then there was a gender barrier. And we try and portray this as, I mean, I couldn't believe as I was looking about this how much information there are about the way that Jewish men treated women back then. For her and him to talk to a woman in public, they're taken aback. Jewish rabbis and men looked down upon women. A common saying of the day was this: he that talks much with womankind brings evil upon himself and ends up in hell. I mean, that's the thinking of the time. Women were discouraged from studying the scriptures because they thought it was a waste. You know, why do that? There's a famous rabbinic prayer that went like this. Part of it went like this: blessed art thou, O Lord, who hast not made me a woman. This is the common thinking of the day. Okay? So here's Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman with a reputation. And each one of these barriers made the disciples squirm. What is Jesus doing? What is he doing here? It got me thinking, what would this story be like if it would have happened today? The disciples come over the hill and they They come to the well and they found Jesus talking to someone wearing a red MAGA hat, Make America Great Again hat. They engaged in friendly conversation with this person. Some of us would just say, how could Jesus be doing? What is he doing hanging out with that person? Or we found Jesus, come over the hill and we found Jesus talking to a Muslim in full garb, holding a Quran, engaged in conversation. Jesus, what are you doing? Or we found Jesus talking to a black guy who's got a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on, and both of them are discussing the merits of critical race theory. Jesus, don't you know? What are you doing? Or we come up over the hill and we find Jesus talking to a transgendered woman who's got a rainbow pride t-shirt on, and they're discussing LGBTQ issues. You see, Jesus broke down barriers and showed his disciples that all people are made in the image of God. All people deserve love and respect. That's what God's kingdom is all about. And all people have been on a long journey that is different than ours. It's different than ours. And if they're going to come to Jesus, they don't need us putting up another barrier in their life. Tearing down barriers and loving others makes us good citizens. And finally, we read in verse 36 where Jesus says, even now. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Number five is this: we begin today. Even now, Jesus says. It may look like an incredibly pagan world out there, that our country is going in the other direction. But I think Jesus, if he were here, he would say this. Guess what? He would just say, man, the harvest is ready. People are ripe. People are looking everywhere for truth and for joy and happiness. The harvest is ripe to receive the gospel. I think if Jesus was here, he would tell us, no, don't wait until you have a better understanding of the Bible. Go out and live like Jesus now. Know your Bible better, know how Jesus is, know what he's all about, and go out and live like Jesus now and tear down barriers. Don't wait until your life is all together. Share what Jesus means to you now. Begin today. But let's face it, Christianity is not popular these days, is it? We got a bad name out in the world. The general perception that people have of Christians today is not good, including pastors, okay? But I tell you what, when I read this scripture this week, there was one verse that really, really encouraged me, and that was verse 40. And it said, so when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. People liked Jesus. Jesus, come on, come, tell us another story. Tell us something else about God. Hey, stay with us 2 more days. And one of the reasons why they said that is because he was accessible and he didn't put up barriers to God's kingdom. He removed them. And he loved people first. He loved people first. And you know what? He's going to let God and the Holy Spirit take care of their lifestyle. We don't have to do that. So, let's be like Jesus. Let's be like Jesus. And that'll make us the best citizens that we could possibly ever become. Let's pray. God, your word challenges us incredibly. In if we're honest, sometimes we would just we just want to keep our world and get to heaven. But Lord, you didn't just save us for that. Right now, that's a given. Lord, you have given us incredible responsibility of making your kingdom on this earth the way it is in heaven. Of taking the good news of the gospel out into the world where we know people like 180 degrees. And so we thank you for the examples of Scripture where we encounter stories where people are like that. And we thank you that we go out into a world not alone, but you've promised to go with us. You promised to give us the words to say. You promised to give us the strength to be a faithful witness of all the junk that we go through. And so, Lord, we pray that our eyes would be opened to see the incredible harvest that is out there. So, Lord, we pray for strength. We pray for courage, because it can sometimes be a scary world. But it's your kingdom, and Jesus is our King. And so we go out in his name. Thank you that on this July 4th, we are indeed free to be your followers. We ask these things in the name of our King Jesus. Amen.